This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 97. And on this episode, we've got James Schramko talking about how to craft a perfect offer. So stay tuned. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler. And on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. What is up, Hard Hustlers? Welcome to another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. And I'm really excited this week to be talking with James Schramko, who runs a pretty successful business over at superfastbusiness.com, where he helps online business owners scale up their business and get more results. Now, we're going to be talking today about how you craft a really great offer. And James has been able to craft an offer that's recurring revenue for him, and it's allowed him to scale his business really rapidly and get awesome results. And I guess I shouldn't just say rapidly, but rather successfully. And he's been able to successfully scale his business to a point where he's working 4 days a week and he's getting really great results with his business. And what it comes down to is a really great offer. So let's dive right into it and welcome James Schramko talking about how to craft a perfect offer.
Zach, thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited to have you on today because we're going to talk a little bit about creating converting offers. But before we dive right into the episode, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I run a business called Superfast Business now, and I'm coaching a lot of people with their digital marketing. And I have a higher level group as well called Silver Circle. And in that group, I have around about 30 entrepreneurs who are in the $2, $3, $4, $5 million range. Many of the names probably listeners have heard of or follow. And I'm helping them grow their business at a higher level because you have a different set of challenges as you scale up. That's what I do now. Before that, I used to run an SEO business. We had a seven-figure SEO business, and we also had website development business, and I sold both of those a couple of years back. And before that, I did all sorts of affiliate marketing, agency level work, some information products, and started the seeds of the forums that I run now. And prior to that, I used to run Mercedes-Benz dealerships as a general manager, and that was actually about 10 years ago.
Wow, so you have quite the repertoire of online and offline business.
Well, the offline business was interesting because I used to change jobs every 2 years or so in the beginning there. I went from debt collection to finance to technology to the automotive industry and worked my way through from sales through to sales management all the way to general management. So in that time, I felt like I was working 4 or 5 years to everyone else's one. In those industries, you know, especially the automotive industry, it's extremely competitive. And there was a long period there where I was working 6 or 7 days a week. And it was, I'd classify it as tough compared to the way life looks now.
Yeah, I love it. So why don't we dive right in? I love to just get to the good stuff. So, you know, how does life look now? And how have you been able to kind of start to create really high converting offers with your audience?
Well, life's good because I have a predominantly recurring subscription business model, which is my favorite business model. And that means I'm dealing with the same people over and over again, and I don't have to constantly look for new customers. That means I'm building a great relationship with my community. It means that I have recurring income coming in, so I have a lot of stability. I have a little team of 5 who help me publish content and manage the day-to-day things like emails and bookkeeping. I've got a pretty flexible schedule. So my team are overseas. It's just me here with my wife in Australia. And I've stacked my work week to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday so that I can have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday to do whatever I like. So I book scheduled calls on those 3 days of the week. Every day I surf, and I quite often will watch some kind of entertainment each day, a movie or Netflix or something, and have time for reading. And I like to keep an eye on things through my team's virtual workplace, which we're running from Slack. And I answer questions from my customers most days. And it could take 30 minutes to an hour of my time to get in there and get under the hood help people out. But there's a lot of things that are leveraged now. I've got pre-done trainings, and of course, my members can help each other. So it's worked out really well.
Awesome. So I think that's the perfect segue into talking about offers. So you said that you have a recurring revenue model. How did you go about actually creating that offer and kind of knowing that that offer was going to convert?
It started as an evolution when I still had a job. So if we go back 10 years to next month, actually, is when I quit my job. For 2.5 years prior to that, I was trying to learn how to build a website and what I could sell online, because I was good at sales, but I had no experience with online. So I figured learning how to build a website would be a start, and then I could sell something, and I had no idea what to sell. And through a few different dead ends, I ended up eventually finding some website software that was easy for me to build a website. And I was so excited about it that I became an affiliate for that program. And I started selling this website software to other people for a commission. And that was my first offer that converts. That was the first thing that I found that I could sell and make money from. And then I devoted my attention to learning about copywriting and SEO and content marketing and paid advertising to drive as much traffic as I could to my affiliate website. The only challenge was this was a one-time sale. So eventually I built up this bank of customers who had purchased the product. And now some people are coming to me saying, hey, I've already got the software, but I want your bonuses that you're giving for people who buy the software. I called this the cheat sheet. And so I put up a site to sell this cheat sheet by itself. Initially, I was charging people $40. And then I put the price up to $79. And it was selling really well. So now I had affiliate income and I was selling my own information product. But it was still one time. And then I was doing this affiliate marketing for other people's communities, which were paying on recurring. That was really a sort of bridge that I crossed. It's like, okay, what can I sell that helps people ongoing? And other people had these online communities, and I was getting memberships to that and getting paid recurring. And then finally, I integrated that and created my own community. It actually centered around an affiliate launch for a $2,000 product. And I decided that my bonus would be to coach people who bought the product and to help them implement the product and get the best possible results for the product, which was a product around selling affiliate stuff. And I took on about 65 people. Actually, it was 80-something people bought it. Around about 80 people bought it. And 65 of them came into my community for coaching. And I gave them 60 days for free. If they stayed, then they could pay a recurring monthly subscription. And sure enough, after 60 days, a lot of them stayed. And from there, I started speaking at some events and I sold a workshop. And I would tell people who came to the workshop they could have 60 days access to my membership where I could coach them while they're doing the workshop and afterwards. And a lot of them would join and stay. So that was two ways that I would get members. And then the third way was selling it directly. And I just kept evolving that. It's been about 9 years now. Coming up to 9 years soon, where I've been running this membership model, and it's just grown. And actually, for the last 6 or 7 years, it's been extremely stable and reliable. Just a slight price increases over that time, and a very steady base of members that have sort of grown up together. And we get into more advanced topics as we evolve, and the quality of the customer has increased over that time. We've gone from learning how to build websites to understanding more about our mindset and strategies around pricing models and where to get other people to do things for us.
That's awesome. So it sounds like you really started with affiliate marketing and kind of relying on other people's copy or content to help you sell really effectively. And then you started to segue into your own products.
It wasn't enough to rely on their copy. It was a start. I mean, the good thing about being an affiliate is you don't have to set up a website with the copy and the shopping cart and look after customers and handle refunds. But the bad side of it is you still got to compete with all these other affiliates. So I had to tune my copy, and I got some help from a copywriter way back in the beginning that did transform the results. And then I started being more creative and adding things like bonuses, and I had to compete with the other affiliates, just like I had in the car industry, where a customer could drive 30 minutes in any direction and buy from any one of 6 or 7 of our competitors to buy the exact same vehicle. So I knew all about competition. So I had to improve my sales copy. I had to improve my bonuses. But by having my own product, and then these days putting myself at the center of that, it's made it much harder for people to compete with me. I've taken a strong, unique position. And I should point out that there was a seven-year period in between when I quit my job and now where I built up that SEO service. And that was supplying a service to people who were members of my community who needed the work done for them. A lot of them were agents and they had customers and they needed someone to fulfill the work. So we built up a seven-figure business supplying that SEO service. And that was a great run. And that wasn't revolving around me. And that's why I was able to sell that business.
That's awesome. So can you talk a little bit more about, you said you kind of made yourself the center point of your community to kind of get rid of some of the competition. How can someone do that? Like, what steps can we take to actually create a unique positioning for our own offers, whether they're digital or you know, otherwise?
Well, I think you could demonstrate how you have got some success with something that other people would like to have and that you've proven the results there. And that's really how most of my coaching started. It was people saying, can you show me what you did to sell all that affiliate stuff? Can you show me how you built an SEO agency? Can you help me too? And if you get recognized for being that person who can help others, then that's a good thing. So some of this involves sharing and being more vulnerable, putting a little bit more of yourself out there. And it also involves lots of proof. If you can take those small successes and bank them into bigger successes and build up customer successes, then your customers will become great advocates. And I find myself in a good position now where most of the people come into my highest level program are referred to me by other people in the high level program. The reputation takes over and the personal branding becomes strong. So I think that's a good start. It certainly doesn't hurt to publish a book. If you have a particular expertise and you'd like to share it, publishing a book is a great way to be positioned as someone in the market who's got something to say, rightly or wrongly. Having a book that you can put in someone's hand, it just seems to create a different perception. I certainly noticed that when I eventually published a book, you know, 6 months ago. It's like there was a bit of a shift in the way that people react. And the book in this case was definitely to let people know about me. And that's why I put a picture of me on the cover and my name on the top of it. It was an introduction to me type of book and the concepts that I've been helping people with. So if you have a service or you have an information product and you want to step into the limelight a little bit more, then definitely amp up your content marketing. Any kind of audio or video or media-rich marketing would help. And find that thing that people come and ask you for help with. Other people like Dan Sullivan call it a unique ability. Well, there's lots of other ways to describe it, but it's what do people ask you for help with? Whatever that is probably a good clue as to where you might be able to put the magnifying glass and bring that to the market.
I like that. And I think what you said is like something that we've always said over at Heart, Soul, and Hustle, which is teach from kind of where you are and start to stack those wins over time. Because when people work with you, they really want to see proof of what you've done, not just what you know.
Exactly. It's like if you're helping people in a coaching capacity, you're only as successful as the results your students are getting. That's why I'm delighted when my students go out there and just crush it. People who I've been working with for years, often they're starting at a small amount, like a very small base, and then they end up, they can go out there and make tens of millions of dollars. I'm excited for them. And I feel like we're getting great results and it's very demonstrative of what you can do in that capacity. So if you can create success stories from your clients and make them the heroes, that would be the best thing you could do. It's tempting to make yourself the hero, but it shouldn't be the way. It's more than likely you got your ideas and inspiration from somewhere, and then you're just passing it on and helping your customers shine. If you can make them successful and prove it, then you will have a great business.
Awesome. So can you talk to us a little bit about, like, as you're building out the product, like as you're building social proof, when do you know that it's time to productize, or how did you know that it was time to switch from talking about building websites or affiliate marketing to kind of pivoting into this larger business consulting capacity?
It's always driven by demand. So initially it was my own needs to build a website that led me to the website software. And that led me to the inevitable conclusion that other people must be struggling with this trying to build a website situation. And I was able to share that. And I stepped into that teacher mode, which is something I'd adapted from being a manager where I had a team and I was leading them. It's a natural role for me to play where I'll step in and start leading. And then those people who were building websites, inevitably they wanted them to rank well and they had things to sell. So I was helping them get better results with their search engine optimization. And then I realized that a lot of these people online were lacking general business skills, the sort of skills I'd learned as a manager and running a business where we were generating revenue of $50 million a year. In the second last business I worked at, we were generating $100 million a year in revenue within the group. These people with the little websites, often they had just been a store clerk or a student, and they just lacked the experience to know about business. I'd learned so many things in that dealership land that are not common knowledge, and that's where I bring huge value to my own audience. So it made sense to create an environment where I could share these things. I could teach them how to protect themselves from single source dependency or getting wiped out when someone changes an algorithm. I could help them grow a team. Many of them had never hired or recruited or led a team. And I'd run a dealership with 70 people. So I could teach them how to run an advertisement to find someone, how to interview them, how to check their references, how to bring them on board and give them proper induction and training and develop them and create a fantastic culture in their business where their team are eager and happy to perform and they're not just motivated by money or quitting every month. All the carnage that you see in these online businesses could be avoided if you have someone experienced and wise to guide you.
So it really sounds like, you know, creating a good offer comes at the intersection of your experience and the demand in the marketplace.
It has to start the marketplace. If there's no market, then there's no offer. There's no sale being made. If you think of selling as a process of change from one situation to a better alternative situation, then people buy to be better off. That's what sales are. People are making a decision that they're going to exchange some value to be better off. So for them to be better off, you should start with their current situation and identify where they're having challenges or problems and what would happen if they don't fix that challenge or problem. So for business owners, and that's why I quite like the B2B market, most business owners don't have enough time and don't have enough money. And if you can solve those problems, then you will have a great offer. And that's why understanding the customer is the first step. Now, if you don't have the expertise, it doesn't mean that it's game over. You could simply find an expert or hire an expert. And this is what some people do when they create courses. There are companies like Udemy where they're bringing in experts and they've created a platform of a combination of education and technology. And that's their play. Masterclass, same thing. You don't have to be the expert at cooking or writing a film script. You can bring in those experts and you can have a business where you found a market of people who have a problem and you bring in an expert that solves it and you've hosted that platform and you've become the solution that people want to pay for because they feel they'll be better off. So definitely start with the market over your expertise. But if you have had a problem that you were able to solve at a world-class level, it might make sense to see if there is a market of other people just like you.
I love that. And so can you talk to us just a little bit about, you know, a lot of times in my audience, people think they have these really great offers and then they go to sell them and there's no one there. You know, how do you study the market or do you recommend that you build up an audience first so that you can kind of study what they want?
I don't think you need to build up an audience first. I think you need to put your offer out there early. Have what I would call a low resolution version of your offer. Like, what is the simplest possible version of your offer that you could put out there and test. You don't need many customers. I'm testimony to this. I've had a tiny little database. In fact, my first $100,000 online came from just 1,000 people. So you don't need a lot of people to have a great business. In fact, even with a database of 15 or 16,000 people, you could be generating $2 million a year if you have a good offer at the right price point on a recurring subscription. So it's an example of a benchmark. Whereas there's other people with lists of 800,000 people scraping to make a few hundred thousand dollars because their offer isn't quite tuned or their business model isn't as perfect as it might be. You definitely want to get your market. Sure, find the market, but put the offer in there as quickly as possible. And that might even be a waiting list. It could be as simple as putting a page on your website today that is a waiting list for the product that you're having soon. You don't need to survey your audience and ask them what they'd buy. And they wouldn't tell you, and even if they did, they're not going to perform the same way that they answer a survey question. It's certainly worth asking them what challenges they have. That's a different type of question. That's what my friend Ryan Levesque teaches with his ask methodology. You want to start with your audience's challenges, put together a proposed solution for that, and stick up a waiting list where you describe the solution and when it's coming, and see if you can even get people to join a waiting list. If you can't do that, there's little chance they're going to buy something. If they join the waiting list, you might ask them for a deposit, even if it's $10, to validate that waiting list. If they won't place a deposit, then there's not enough trust built or a belief that you're able to solve their problem. And if you can possibly create a solution, like if it's an easy solution to create, for example, a service or an event, they're easy to get paid for first. You could put on an event in the future, book a venue, name it, describe how it's going to be, put up the ticket price and try and sell it. If you can't sell it, or you only sell a couple of tickets, you could refund the tickets and cancel it. If you can sell it, then you're away. And that's a great way to validate your audience. If it's a service, that's super easy. Get paid and then deliver the service. If it's a membership or something more complicated, then you might go down the route of making a little product or something that validates your theory on what that audience will buy, rather than a survey where they're just going to tell you whatever you want to hear.
I really like that. And I think that there's something to be said about testing out that product initially. And so it kind of sounds like you're saying, like, whether you have a massive audience or a small audience, the best thing you can do to test out an offer is put it out there and be willing to take the risk that maybe it'll land and maybe it won't.
That's the nature of business. You could have it, you know, in your mind, it's all fantastic. You got the greatest idea ever. And you know, people often talk about, you know, an idea is great as sliced bread, but they forget or don't even know that the bread slicing machine was a complete flop when it came out. No one was buying it. It was only successful years later. And I think the guy who invented it died broke. But, you know, not every idea is a good one. And I think it's really better if the customer validates it than if you, the business owner, get all excited about an idea. And I've seen a lot of people get very excited about ideas, especially when they fall for the preference versus performance trap. And that's where, you know, people say one thing and do another. It's one thing to say, you know, if I put out a service for $500 a month, would you buy it? And people go, oh, yes, I'd buy it. Versus, here's my service. It's $500 a month. And here's how you can order it. And then there's crickets. But it's better to know now, isn't it, that they're not buying that product. And then you can go back to the drawing board and see what you missed.
Absolutely. So just to recap, it kind of sounds like you're saying there's a few key pieces, which is number one, watch the market and make sure that there's a demand in the marketplace. Then number two, if there's an intersection with the market demand and your experience, even better, but try to find someone or something that you can speak to that experience with, and then really put the offer out there and test it in a way that has a financial commitment from your potential market, because that's the only way you can truly prove that someone wants it.
Yeah, and you can soften the blow a bit. You could call it a pilot program. For example, most business owners or service providers or information product people could say, listen, I've been asked by a few people how I do what I do. I'm going to host a training on this. It's going to be in 10 days from now. Here's the page where you can join the waiting list to let me know that you're interested in this. And there's a $10 reservation fee for this training. The training itself will only be $200 or whatever, and it's going to run on this date at this time. And if you can't make it, you'll get the recording. Put the page up. If people buy it, that's your validation. It's the first version of that product. It's not how you're going to finish, I can tell you that. You know, in 10 years from where I started to where I am now, it could not be more diverse. And every person I coach, they end up with a different business a year from when they start than where they started. So where you start is not where you finish. Just start. And we don't have to build up a massive audience before we go and put the product out there. We don't have to make an elaborate, complicated, multi-funnel system of ads and webinars and pages and technology and $20,000 worth of web dev to start a business. You could start it even at a cafe with a real life human being. If you could say, I could fix all the web copy on your website for $300, and they say, yes, I'd like that. Say, great. Well, you can pay me with credit card or cash, or I can send you a link to my shopping cart. Like, that could happen face to face. You don't even need a website to make money online. People complicate this. They're getting way too complicated.
I love that. And I think it really comes down to just taking action, which is so important to getting results. I love it. So, James, as we start to wrap up, I've just got a few quick rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. So the first one is, what's one action that someone can take in the next week to start to get results based on what they heard today?
Put up an offer.
Love it. Simple, easy, and effective. Number two, what does the word hustle mean to you as it applies to business?
To me, it means the first part of business before the good part. It's the inevitable phase. I would equate this to like a log fire. You know, the first part, you're probably out in the forest chopping down the tree, lugging it back to the shack, cutting it up, sticking it all in formation, getting the tinder, the fire starters, getting it all going. There's a lot of work involved with not much heat throwing off that fire until the last part, you know, when that log takes and that the big log starts to glow, and then you can actually sit back and warm yourself around that fire. The hard work is up front almost always. And just remember that you don't have to continue lugging if you don't want. You can actually buy firewood that's already chopped and have it delivered to your door. So that's where people, I think, make too much of a big deal out of hustle. It's certainly the first number of years you could expect to hustle. Just remember to reassess your situation down the track so you don't end up some workaholic on your deathbed who forgot to live.
I love it. And then finally, where can we learn more about you? And do you have any projects you're working on that we should know about?
Well, I'm always working on my memberships because that's where my customers are. And we've got this deal where I keep looking after them and they stick around, which is working well for me so far. That's at superfastbusiness.com. And I would recommend my book, Work Less, Make More. Obviously, I'm super biased, but I do think this book is a short read and it covers a good digest of the main types of things we've talked about on this podcast. So you already know if you've listened to this podcast, if this book's going to resonate with you. If you'd like some of the things I talked about, I expand on those in that book, and it is quite counterintuitive and a fast read.
Awesome. Well, we'll link both of those up in the show notes for you. And before we go, James, I just want to say thanks so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Zach. I really appreciate the opportunity to come and share some ideas.
Awesome. Well, guys, we will link everything up in the show notes. I'll give you that link in just a second here, but you heard it here first. Get out there, get your offer up, and that's where the magic happens. So what a great episode of the show. I think that James dropped some really good knowledge bombs there that you can take to the bank to create some really awesome traction with your offers as well. And I really want to drive home the point that James talked about the intersection of your market, your experience, and being willing to test things out. And when you have all three of those together, you can find an offer that actually converts. Now, if you want to review anything that we've talked about, we'll have the show notes over at heartsoulhustle.com/97. Again, that's heartsoulhustle.com/97. We'll have the show notes waiting for you there. And until next week, keep hustling. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.